This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
I love it when we get a little LB, little brother on the show. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's John Lopez. That's Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Atitula. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us on a Thursday. It's a thirsty Thursday. The drive will be at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Washington Ave in the city, so go ahead and make your plans there if you want to go out and see them fine.
That's
fellas.
My home BW.
There you go.
Yeah. You showing up?
I might. I got a meeting at 2:30, but I'll probably come by afterward.
Get you some.
I got nothing after that.
You love to see it.
Yeah.
You can't call this man nothing at all. Like, he's absolutely something whenever we get him every Thursday. Former Houston Texan. And it's funny to use little brother. I'm now considering him my big brother. It's Ndukwe Dike Kalu, otherwise known as ND Kalu. What's happening, my man?
My brother, how are you doing? How are y'all?
We are doing very well. It's Titans week, man, I'm very much trying to get into the feel of it, being back in Houston. I'm interested. John gave us the spiel on, in some ways, the owner, and I'm sure you knew how tenuous that can go. But I want to get it from like your position as a player who's played here for a few years. Like, what strikes you about the rivalry, either now or when you were playing against the Tennessee Titans?
It was more like, and again, being not from Houston, but from San Antonio, then living in Houston, you know, from 17 until I graduated college. That was the time the Oilers left Houston. And I grew up a Houston fan. So when you think of Tennessee, and it's very, low-hanging fruit thought process, but you think, oh, that's the city, that's the place that took our team. So there was a little extra oomph, especially from the fans. And then you have the divided fans, where the fan base who said, you know what, we're still going to rock with the Tennessee Titans, and the other fans are saying, no, this is Houston, we have the Texans now. So you still have that rivalry, especially in the barbershop. I mean, I hear it every weekend when I go get the beard trimmed up, since I don't have anything on top of my head anymore. But they're you know, still fighting, and there's still that intense rivalry, whether or not people from Houston, like yourself, Reggie, should be Tennessee Titan fans or Houston Texan fans. So it's not quite the rivalry, in my opinion, as, you know, the Cowboys. And maybe it's because you actually see this team twice a year. But it's still something there, because there's still a few leftovers who are Titan fans because they feel like the Titans are the Oilers.
Hey, Andy, I want to talk about this defense, man. I'm getting more and more excited, frankly, about where they can go from here, especially at the cornerback positions. I brought up yesterday, if I had to build a defense just from ground zero, I would start with two kick-ass cornerbacks, and the Texans just might have them.
Not only are they kick-ass, as you said, But they're young. You know, they're two guys that you could build around. Now, obviously, I should say, you have a cap that you're going to have to deal with. But the thought of Derek Stingley, Kamari Lassiter being together for 5-6 years, I mean, that's an awesome thought, because that's one of the tougher positions to fill. That's one of the tougher positions to put somebody out there and say, you know what, we know we're going to be good here for the next few years. It is tough to field the team. There isn't any quote-unquote easy position. But when I think of, obviously, quarterback and then cornerback comes to me as like the number two toughest position to really find that find, mm-hmm. and then maybe left tackle. So to have two of them, like you mentioned, two ball hawks, two guys that are going to be starters, that are going to be Pro Bowl type players for years to come. If you could figure out a way to lock them down for the next 5-6 years, man, that's how you build championships.
It makes everything else easier on the defensive side. And you already got Will Anderson.
You got Will Anderson. Then you have a bunch of guys that aren't household names, but when you're watching the games, you're like, man, Danico Autry just made an awesome play. Or how about, Derek Barnett with the strip sack, fumble, another fumble, but then he picks it up and takes it to the house for a touchdown. I mean, every week there is somebody else who's making plays on this defense, but then your stars are consistently showing that they're stars, with the Derek Stingleys of the world and the Danielle Hunters.
Andy, I want to kind of continue the line of questioning with this defense. I'm interested in, like, what is the high watermark for this defense as well? And it feels like they have the possibility of being elite if you don't already view them as that. What's necessary to get them to that point?
Consistency. I mean, you just have to consistently make big plays. There were a couple plays, I'll say, against the Cowboys where you say, okay, this is a very, very good defense, but if you want to be great, you have to come down with that interception. You know, there was a couple of plays where it hit the DBs in the chest and they didn't come down with it, but they made a nice play on the ball. Mm-hmm. And if you want to be elite, if you want to be top tier, if you want to be thought about, like the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the San Francisco 49ers, those are the plays you have to make, and you have to make it consistently. That's, to me, that's the biggest thing. And I feel like they've been playing consistent ball, even with the tough loss against Detroit. I mean, 5 interceptions, you can't ask for more from your defense.
You know what's interesting about watching this defense, and we will get to the offensive side, but, you know, I'm looking at Danielle Hunter, and, you know, here we are week 12. These guys are supposed to be beat up and sore and tired, and yet he seems to be getting better. Like he seems to be, you talk about consistency, more consistent and making more plays. I mean, is that just a comfort thing, or what is it that's going in with Danielle Hunter?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like what we said. I mean, he's a great NFL player. You know, he's a fringe Hall of Fame type player. So those guys, what separates them, they play at a high level consistently the entire season, and they do it for multiple years. Like, that's the difference between a Danielle Hunter, and I'll take a shot at myself, and a guy like myself, where you're a role player, you have a good game, and you do enough to stay on the team, and before you know it, you've played 12 years. But, like, my top games, you know, my games that I had 3 sacks against the Rams, that's Danielle Hunter's regular day. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what he does on a regular basis, where, you know, if he has a 3-sack game, of course he's going to be happy. He's going to celebrate that, but he's going to be like, you know, I have a few of those. Like when I had my 3-sack game, I was like, man, I'm good. My career. I'm ready to pack it in. I've hit my ceiling. But all jokes aside, I'm not surprised, because just look at his stats. Look at what he's done over the last decade. Like he's a special player. Like Will Anderson is going to be that type of guy. J.J. Watt, obviously, you know, was that guy to the 10th degree. But that's who Danielle Hunter is, and that's why he's a Pro Bowler year in and year out.
We're talking to former Houston Texans Andy Kalu right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. And Danielle, talking about him, like he keeps hitting these double moves with the spin and everything and being effective. And it's one of those wow moves. And that got me thinking, like, just in more of a general sense, as a former player, what is the thing on the field that's most likely to have, you know, give you a wow moment of like supreme appreciation and admiration of what happened on the field?
His moves. I mean, you took the words right out of my mouth. Like, when I watch him play, I feel like even when it doesn't result in a sack, Reggie, like there'll be times, and I spend a lot of time watching the trenches. Like, I love watching offensive, defensive linemen and just the games within the games that happen, you know, for obvious reasons. But there are times that I'm like, man, this dude is 30 years old and he just made that move. And the flexibility, the athleticism, the quickness, the explosion, like, everything that I just mentioned, you'll see that on one move from Danielle Hunter, and you'll see it consistently. And it makes me appreciate, even though I don't know the guy, with the way he's playing and how he's playing, I know what he's doing away from the field. And that's what you have to appreciate. If I was a betting man and we had a chance to talk and he was going to be truthful, I would bet that every day he's doing the boring things that you don't want to do as a player, getting in the hot tub, getting in the cold tub, eating correctly, you know, going through the stretch sessions away from the team, getting the right massages, you know, the sports deep tissue massages where they're digging into you with the elbows. I bet you he's doing that consistently, and that's why at 30 he looks more explosive than a lot of guys in their early 20s.
You said it. You love to watch the trenches, and I didn't quite know what to take away from the offensive line performance against the Cowboys. I said it's complicated because, you know, yes, they only allowed one sack, but they had gave up 14 pressures. Yes, you had a 100-yard rusher, but the interior three guys were the three of the lowest rated grades, at least according to Pro Football Focus. Like, what should we take away from the offensive line performance?
They looked good against a bad team. Looked good against, and now you have to give them credit. Micah Parsons didn't really have a big game stat wise, and he's one of the best edge players in the game. But yeah, they're a good offensive line. I don't think anybody, you know, would say they're not good. They play poorly, but they look good against a team that's in disarray, against a team that doesn't really have their star player on the interior of that defensive line. Guess what? They're going to be tested this week, yeah, because Jeffrey Simmons is a bad man, and Tavondre Sweat, he's no joke either, and they both play inside. So if we can have another game where Joe Mixon gets 80, 90, 100 yards rushing, because they're opening up holes, especially between the A and B gaps where you have Tavondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, then you can say, okay, yeah, this is the team that I expected. I can't speak for anybody else. This is the position group, the offensive line, that I expected in the preseason.
I'm glad you used the word test, because it ties in with what our question of the day was earlier today. A football writer said that he believes that the NFL should allow one, or every team, to pick one player to not get PED tests, almost as a designated juicer of sorts. If you had to select one guy from this team to be like, hey, man, you can go ahead and shoot up whatever you need to get yourself to the right place, what guy would you pick?
Wow, I love that question. Okay, one guy to allow to basically take any horse steroids that are out there off the market.
Or HGH, whatever is necessary, man.
My initial thought was Kenyon Green.
He was brought up.
I think I'm going to go more so for the most violent position on the field, and that's running back. So I'm going to go Joe Mixon.
Oh, man.
Just because of the way he runs, I would love to see him juiced up, running without an ACL, but he's not worried about it because of a roid rage. So I think I'm going to go the other route. A guy who doesn't need it, but he'll be almost like a superhero with it, and Will Anderson.
Yeah, I said him. I think he's a cyborg.
Yeah, without it. So just can you imagine with it?
Yeah.
He might literally fly out of his stand. So I'm going to go Will Anderson. I'm going to go with that's right. My final answer.
Very good. I think that's officially where we landed as a full show. A lot of fun other nuggets came through. Some people were like, Kyemi Fairbairn, see if he can kick a 70 or 80 yarder, all those things. But I think you came up with some good answers there, Andy, as you always do when you join us on a Thursday.
That is an awesome. You know what? Y'all ruined my day. I'm supposed to go back to work, but now I'm going to be analyzing, like, should I have gone with like a second string linebacker? That way he'd be first string.
Yeah. Some people were going like maybe like Kadar Holman or Jeff Okuda to, you know, kind of up that there, you know, your depth there. Someone went, and I appreciate this forethought, the idea of going with Christian Harris, give him some HGH to help him back onto
get him
the
healthy.
Field, you know?
Or a guy that they shouldn't even test, John Metchie.
I guess
because
I
of everything he's been through.
Yeah.
Everything he's been through is kind of like, who's my guy who lost his nuts? The biker. Lance Armstrong. Like, when I learned about him taking steroids, I was kind of like, come on, man. He lost his huevos. Like, I still respect what he's done. He's the only athlete that got caught using steroids where it didn't change my positive opinion of him. Every other one, I was like, oh, so that's why he was so good.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When you lose your huevos, I think you should be able to take any and everything that you can.
We've lost ND. We've lost ND. He's done for the day.
Look, our both of our phones are available. If you need to text us with more answers, we will take them. Someone else was like, it has to be Damian Pierce, need a second running back. I appreciate that thought as well.
Yeah.
But it's always, always, always a blast to get you on the phone, ND. Thank you for giving us some time, and hopefully we get to talk to you after another Texans victory.
All right, God willing. Enjoy the game, and I'll speak with y'all next week.
Yes, sir. There he goes. Andy Kalu, former Houston Texan real estate mogul, and always a good guest for us here in the loop. All right, coming up next, somebody said Patreon HG. It's such a fun question. Mm-hmm. I didn't think we'd have so much fun with this. All right, but coming up next, let's get into what's popping after another Rockets victory. And also, what was the other thing?
What was the other thing?
Oh, yeah, Cy Young's. We're giving out. We'll talk about that and more next.